Can we take it? Wind chill 75 below. Monday, 59 actual degrees. What? Where, oh, where has our president gone? Oh, my. Cold bodies and a big warm heart in Chicago. I cannot believe what's happening in Virginia. And you think that's okay? Okay to have your mistress take care of your wife? What in the world is going on? And you know, I gotta admit it, I'm a very, can you tell, impatient, I hate to wait. Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. News, information, comment, thoughts on all kinds of things. Call a friend. Tell them Hello World is on the air. We'll be back with the news right after this. Okay, Lord, I'm praying about this. Last couple of days of February and first part of March, beautiful temperatures, great driving conditions from Fort Wayne, Indiana to Tri-Cities, Tennessee. I like that. Hopefully he'll honor that as we come down for Sherathon 2019. They're getting ready. Of course, they've been ready since the end of the fall fundraiser. Looking forward to being with Ken Hill and the good folks at WHCB 91.5. Oh, yeah, it's a working vacation. Having a great time trying to raise a few bucks to keep Christian radio on the air in the Tri-City area. And I get to preach in person at some churches in, Johnson City, Elizabethton, Tennessee, right near Roan Mountain. It's going to be a great time. Be praying about Sherathon 2019 and what you might do. Oh, would God tug at your heartstrings and say, yep, I'm going to give them this. Pray about it. I can't wait to see you. Midwest, oh, it is so cold. 75 below wind chill factor. What a difference it's going to be here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. 16 below today, 59 on Monday. Oh, welcome to Indiana. Records are being shattered. Communities are enduring the harshest cold in years as this polar vortex tightens its grip on the Midwest. After a polar vortex plunged southward, temperatures plummeted to under 20 below from North Dakota to northern Illinois yesterday. Biting winds made the extreme cold more life-threatening as AccuWeather real field temperatures dropped under 50, 60 degrees below zero. Frostbite occurring in a mere matter of minutes to exposed skin in these kind of conditions. Among the deaths from the snow and cold that struck the Midwest was a man found frozen to death in a garage in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The cold has also led to widespread school closures, and they're not delivering mail here, they're not picking up trash here through the weekend. Major travel disruptions and even the suspension of, well, about everything. Cold temperatures, warm hearts, however, up there in Chicago. An anonymous donor paid the tab to place 70 homeless people in a Chicago hotel, huh? There they were, 70 people camped out in tents near the Dan Ryan Expressway. The group kept warm thanks to 100 donated propane tanks, at least until one of them exploded Wednesday. It prompted a visit from the Chicago Fire Department and the confiscation of all the propane tanks, leaving the homeless group without a heat source with below-freezing temps. The fire chief said he knew the donation was an act of kindness, these propane tanks, but he said the use of so many just dangerous. With the tanks taken away, the Tribune reports that the city notified Salvation Army spokesman Jacqueline Rave that she was to spring into action to help move this group to the organization's warming center. However, as they were working for this move, the city called back to tell her that a good Samaritan paid for this group to go to a hotel. Fantastic. And I gotta tell you, I'm inspired this morning by one of God's creatures right outside the studio window here. A beautiful redbird, that's the state bird here in Indiana, is just singing up a storm. Nothing moving, everything frozen solid, and there he is, just singing. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's been kind of unusual. Less is more. Maybe we'll see Donald Trump's face on a milk carton. Have you seen me? Donald Trump out of sight now as the border wall talks play out. No televised roundtables with cabinet secretaries, no freewheeling speeches from the Oval Office, no shouted comments on his way to Marine One. What's going on? Where is our president? While the federal government is open once again, President Donald Trump has been largely behind closed doors now. Republicans and Democrats alike seem just fine with Trump hanging back as legislators try to work out some sort of a deal to keep the government open and resolve a standoff over funding for the president's long-sought wall at the southern border. In fact, some lawmakers think less Trump might be a really good thing, given his rocky relationships with legislators and open criticism of his negotiating abilities. Over the last 5 days, no public appearances for the president. Trump did manage to get in a slam. He blamed former House Speaker Paul Ryan for not getting funding for the wall, saying with an interview with the Daily Caller that Paul Ryan assured him congressional Republicans would get the money when the president agreed not to veto the omnibus spending bill last year. Well, I was going to veto the omnibus bill, and Paul told me in the strongest of language, please don't do that. We'll get you the wall. And I said, I hope you mean that, because I don't like this bill, Trump told the Daily Caller. Paul told me in the strongest of terms, please sign this, and if you sign this, we will get you that wall, which is desperately needed by our country. Humanitarian crisis, trafficking, drugs, you know, everything, people, criminals, gangs, so you know, we need the wall. But Trump said, and then he went lame duck on me, referring to Ryan's decision to retire instead of running for re-election. Oh my goodness! What is the governor of Virginia doing? Right after this. When I was young in the faith, I thought about it. I wondered why some new Christians just seem to soar in their newfound relationship with Almighty God, while others kind of nosedive within a few weeks. Those of us who have been Christians for a long time might forget that salvation involves a change not only in lifestyle, but also in thinking and understanding. New birth means new life. It implies starting over. The old life isn't simply renovated, it's actually replaced by a new one. This takes some time. Converting something means changing it, like money that's exchanged from one currency to another. The Christian life must involve change. And we often think of salvation as something God gives us, but it's more than that. When someone trusts Jesus Christ as Savior, that person welcomes the Lord to live within his or her heart. Think about how you thought and lived before you knew Jesus, as compared with now. In what ways do you see genuine change? Ask God to reveal areas in which the life of Christ needs to become more evident in your life. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, he's a Democrat, commented yesterday about a controversial 40-week abortion bill, and in so doing said the law allows an abortion to take place after the child is born. If a mother's in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated. That's what the mother and the family desires. And then they would have a discussion that would ensue between the physician and the mother, Northam said, alluding to the physician and the mother discussing whether the born infant should live or die. Are we out of our minds in America? Is Jesus coming soon? You know it. A Democratic lawmaker in the Virginia House of Delegates proposed this bill Tuesday that would allow abortions through the end of the third trimester of pregnancy. The video of Delegate Kathy Tran presenting her bill led to the exchange where she admitted that her bill would allow for a mother to abort her child minutes after she gave birth. Well, if they're going to have a discussion, would it take minutes or an hour or a couple of days? And then we kill this human being and it's okay? How late in the third trimester could a physician... in this case, a murderer, perform a murder if he indicated that it would impair the mental health of the woman? So says Majority Leader Todd Gilbert. Or physical health, maybe, Tran said. Okay, Gilbert replied, I'm talking about the mental health. I mean, through the third trimester? The third trimester? 40 weeks? And when it was all through, it ended up being a birth, and then maybe we would have to take the child's life. I'm telling you, this should just... something to pray about there in Virginia. Okay, let me see here. Which sin should I tolerate? Let me do a checklist here. What? So when there's confusion in your life, question marks, Where do you go? Well, for Christians, that should be pretty simple, but I'll tell you what, in this new America that I keep talking about, things just seem to be getting more and more confusing. Watching the Today program, I was struck by B. Smith. I guess I was more struck by her husband. What in the world is going on? He is opening up in his relationship with another woman that he cares for. Oh, I understand. B. Smith, the famed restaurateur and lifestyle guru, beautiful woman, is battling Alzheimer's. I guess they're very famous, these people. Dan Gatsby, 64, first went public with his romance with Alex Lerner, 53 years old, back in December, in a post on Facebook that he shares with his wife, B. Smith, who he's been married to for 26 years. Well, on Monday of this week, the Washington Post published a profile of the trio, and as I said today on the Today program, there they were talking about this. Gatsby and Lerner explaining in their own words how their relationship came to be. So, Lerner is a white woman, 53 years old, he's 65, and somehow he has justified this relationship in that Lerner takes care of his wife, and the three of them are kind of like a team, and I'm thinking, this is sick, but about as many people that are against it are for it, saying, yeah, he should be able to enjoy his life while his wife is fading away. What a bunch of nonsense. That's the world's thinking today. You know, I think I could justify this sin. No Bible, no direction. Just do whatever feels good, whatever you think is okay. It doesn't work that way, and people know it. Why do I have to wait, Lord? That message is coming up right after this. You might consider being a part of Greg Patton Ministries and the Hello World radio program by supporting it on a regular basis. We're grateful to those families and churches that do just that and keep us on the air here. Certainly a big part of that is this Christian radio station. Without them, oh, we'd be in big trouble, my friend. Pray for them. Thank them. Give to them. Always. Christian radio is such a necessity today. I believe that with all of my heart. All across America. East, west, north, and south, the Word of God goes out and you and I can grow. Participating, serving, going to a local church. Great. And Christian radio? Hearing the truth of the Word of God 24/7, like you do right here. So very important. Again, we at Greg Patton Ministries say thank you, thank you, thank you. Like us on Facebook, Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. That's a big deal, too. Again, thank you. Why do you think it is we hate to wait? I got to tell you, I pray about it. I preach about it. I hate to wait. It was as if God was reaching down into my life and pressing the pause button. Yep, you're going to wait, Greg. I didn't like it. I knew I could not move forward without his approval. In my mind, I could see a sign hanging in front of me there. It had a single word printed on it. Wait? What kind of a word is that? Now, it wasn't a flashing notice. No, just a check in my spirit that told me I needed to stop and let him guide me. I could move on, but I knew I could be missing his best for my life, which I certainly did not want to do. Does this sound familiar to you? For most of us, waiting is not something that we do naturally. No, no, no. In fact, our society is so geared up for action that taking time to understand God's will is sometimes seen as counterproductive in this old world. Nothing could be further from the truth. Many view abiding or resting as a waste of time. Idleness that leads to just boredom. Even Christians have bought into Satan's lie. They hear the word rest, wait, abide, and immediately feel stifled. They feel shackled, held back. Yet from time to time, this is exactly what God calls you to do. Wait. Wait on him to show us the next step so we don't make a serious mistake in life. In times of waiting, God wants us to learn how to abide in his care. Isn't this exactly what he instructed the disciples to do? He told them to abide, which means to remain, lodge, tarry, continue right where you are until I instruct you to do differently. And it is what he wants us to do now, not just when circumstances become so difficult and we feel afraid to move on, but at every turn in life and in every season. He said, abide in me and I in you. He also abides in me and I in him. He bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:4-5. The 3 years that they had been with the Lord had been full and productive. Then tragedy struck and their lives were shattered almost instantly. Yet once Jesus told them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, Acts 1:4, he was referring there to the arrival of the Holy Spirit. This was God's gift to them, ensuring that he would be with them forever, just as he promised he would be. Think what would have happened if they had said, nope, too busy to wait, gotta get going, Lord. The world's falling apart, I need to do something now, need to keep busy. That would have happened, they would have missed an awesome blessing. They would have also disobeyed God and stepped out of his will. They probably would have spent the rest of their lives searching for some inner peace and joy and meaning to life, something that only God's Holy Spirit can provide us. Have you noticed how difficult it is to do nothing when you feel your world is falling apart? I just can't sit here. This is impossible, one woman said. I have to do something. I need to keep busy, keep going, keep moving. Many times we feel we cannot stop because we do not want to face the truth or deal with the issues going on in our lives. Therefore, rather than take upfront time to make the necessary adjustments in life, we rush forward with little or no direction. And the result? Awful. Sooner or later, our fast pace is going to catch up with us. We may think that if we stop, we will never recover the ground we've lost. But the truth is, if we keep rushing past God's will, at some point the consequences of our decision to ignore the warning of Almighty God will be very costly for us. I've talked with many people who face tremendous trials. If I'd advised them to be careful and not push ahead too fast, I would often see a look of resistance rising from their eyes, most of the time, as a matter of fact. Whenever this happened, I knew what they were thinking, because I've been there, done that. Every personal desire within them is shouting, move on, don't you dare stop. The world chimes, life is passing you by. Soon you'll be too old to care, to get ahead. The need for personal recognition, fame maybe, control, even survival is not God's best for you. His way has to do with a thing called faith and trust and abiding. It involves a lifestyle change where you relinquish control in favor of doing the will of God, his way, in letting go and letting him live his life through you. The Lord tells us to abide in him and not to worry about the issues of life. After all, he is God, isn't he? And he is in control, isn't he? And everything that concerns you, he cares about? Does this mean the Christian life is to be lived passively? Or we just kind of sit by and allow God to do everything? Que sera, sera. No, you know that's not true. Jesus didn't sit around. He was not passive. Abiding in Christ may look like it's inactivity. But there's a big difference here. Jesus did not work out of human energy. He worked out of a divine power. Just as we can do nothing of true significance apart from God and his power, Jesus could do nothing apart from the Heavenly Father. He drew all of his wisdom and all of his knowledge from God. Every bit of his energy and strength was the result of living, abiding, in the Father's care. In other words, even when God wants you to be, well, resting and be still, we actually continue to be productive because we are abiding in him. It's important for believers to understand that he works this way in life. Are you the type of person who waits for God's instruction? Or do you find yourself wanting to ignore all the signs and just plow ahead? If you do, then you probably have taken some wrong turns in life, haven't you? Headed down some dead-end streets, maybe? Maybe you have even caught yourself racing toward a goal that turned out to be nothing more than dust and desire. God always has a reason for asking us to abide to him, to wait. He's not punishing you. He's preparing us for something much better than we would gain apart from him. Learning to sit still in the Lord's presence is anything but counterproductive, and it certainly is not boring. The secret for doing this is well found in our willingness to rest in his care. The secret for doing this well is found in our willingness to rest in God, in his care. It's the result of walking in step with his will and not to the beat of our own drum. and unless they are desires that God has given, not going to work very well. This involves a daily walk of faith where we say, Lord, everything within me this day wants to move forward, but I refuse. I'm committing myself to waiting on your timing for your best and for your will to be revealed. Again, how do I do that? I need to abide with patience. One of the first things we've got to do is back off from our personal desire and wait with patience on God. That's a big job. And then we need to abide in faith. At some point, we got to let go of our insecurities and fears and trust God, not only to keep us safe, but to bless us. And then we need to abide in confidence. The sovereign God of the universe loves you with an eternal love. In fact, no one loves you more than God. You can feel secured knowing that whatever comes your way is something that God is going to use for yet a greater purpose. Romans 8:28. Abide in a quietness of spirit. Rest in God's care. Be still. Allow Him to take a lifetime, if needed, to mold you to what He wants you to be. Abide in joy. While happiness is based on circumstances, joy is eternal because it's based only on one thing, the unconditional love of God that never shifts or changes. And then how about abide in surrender? You don't have to rush here and there. No, you don't. Search for significance and opportunity in life. If you will rest in God's love and allow Him to teach you His ways, you're going to discover a sense of spiritual richness you never thought possible. And you just may be surprised. When you surrender your life to God, He answers every prayer. And not always the way you want, of course, but in ways that will bring tremendous hope and blessing to your life. So stop it. Stop rushing. Start abiding. The moment you surrender your worries and time and really your heart to God, that's the moment you really begin to abide in Him in this old world. And has anyone asked you lately, if you died today, do you know that you would go to heaven? I pray so. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember, God said He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can have it today, my friend. Ask God to forgive you of your sin and invite Jesus Christ into your life. It'll be a change beyond belief. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Things really do become new. And that's it. Another edition of Hello World. I'm your host, Greg Patton. It's a joy to come to you each day at this time, and we thank you for your listening every day. Tell a friend about the broadcast, please. Join us on Facebook, Greg Patton. Go to gregpatton.com and email me, helloworldradio@gmail.com. And finally, I think you have to be married a while to appreciate this one. A woman accompanied her husband to the doctor's office, and after his checkup, the doctor called the wife into the office and said, "Hey, if you don't do the following, your husband is going to die soon." "Like what, Doc?" "Well, every morning, fix him a healthy breakfast. Be very pleasant. Make sure that he's in a good mood. For lunch, make him a nutritious meal. Be very loving. For dinner, prepare him an especially nice meal. Don't burden him with any trouble, any chores, as he probably is going to have a hard day. Don't discuss your problems with him at all." And on the way home, the husband asked his wife, "What happened? What did the doctor say?" "Well," she said, "I really don't know how to tell you this, but you're going to die very soon." Like I said, I think you have to be married a while to really appreciate that one. Come on, smile. It's a medicine, my friend. Thanks so much for listening to Hello World. I'm Greg Patton, your host. We come your way each day at this time, Monday through Friday. Are you keeping warm? I can leave the studio here and go home and get some more firewood, trying to keep warm until that 59 degrees on Monday. Again, let me say thank you so much for being here. Until tomorrow, hey, enjoy the remainder of your Thursday. God bless.